Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, You Must Choose to be Healed. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, or porticos. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now let me say at this point that there are some textual questions around verse 4. So we are not going to be addressing those textual issues. So let me go on to verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Or in that condition. He saith unto him, that is, Jesus said unto the impotent one, Wilt thou be made? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put thee into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it, that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. I'm going to stop at verse 13 briefly. Because this healing event, this miraculous healing event, plays most certainly, as we read the text, at a place in verse 2 that is called Bethesda. Now, this area has been located by archaeologists, and so the area has been excavated, and we know that most certainly this particular area existed during the time of Jesus. So we have located the area, and I want to take a look at another factor that is germane to this account, that is that this feeding of the infant son takes place within a particular cultural context. The healing takes place within a certain environment. So the encounters that Jesus has with this particular individual was at a place, once again in Hebrew, is called Bethesda, or the House of Mercy. In verse 3, we're told, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, or literally individuals without strength, or who are powerless, sick, or weak. There are individuals who are blind, halt, that is, limping, or withered, or shrunken, waiting for the moving of the water. So verse 5, and a certain man was there, had an infirmity 38 years. Now, in the Greek text, the word had, or the term that has been transliterated as had, is a present active participle, and it means to have or to wear. And so, asthenia is the Greek word, asthenia. It's translated from the literation of the word infirmity. So, asthenia means without strength. And it is a comprehensive term that speaks the condition of the whole man. Asthenia. And so the sickness is not only bodily, it was also spiritual. And so the whole man was in asthenia, or in this condition. And note in verse 5, he had been in this condition for 38 years. Beginning of verse 6 reads, when Jesus saw him lie. And so this individual is observed by the Aces. And the Aces sees the entire individual. And not only that, he knows why this individual is in asthenia. He knows the individual's history, which, of course, is hidden from those around him. This person has been in this condition for 38 years, and there also a profound spiritual factor involved in this position. And so in verse 36, in verse 6 we read, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that condition. So notice the succinct statement uttered by Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, thou be made whole. Or sound or whole in health. So Jesus, please remember that the entire individual is in a sin, in weakness. He is called the weak one. Wilt thou be made whole? Statement uttered by Jesus, very succinct, carefully worded, and it is a direct statement to this individual. So I want you to note the response of the individual to the words of Jesus. Verse 7. The impotent man, the Greek has whole, in other words, the weak one. The impotent one answered him, Lord, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Now, this is the individual's answer to a direct statement by Jesus. Please note that this individual has been in this remarkable condition for 38 years, and therefore, notice the mental attitude. Notice the mentality. His response to a direct statement is, Lord, I have no man when the water is troubled. Jesus did not ask this information. Jesus uttered a direct address. And so, a lot about this individual, an enormous amount of information is revealed about this individual in verse 7. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. There is so much going on in this individual's life. And so we see that this chronic condition has resulted in a weakened understanding on the individual's part too. The mind that is locked in a viewpoint of excuse. I can also see that the individual feels sorry for himself. So he has created this elaborate system of explaining away personal responsibility. Jesus, a again says to him, in verse 8, Jesus offers a direct victim to him. Verse 8 reads, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And so, this man has lived in planned excuse making, so much so that he is convinced that his bewilderment is legitimate. But the lie that had been a significant contributing factor to his illness, to his asthenia, is addressed by Jesus. There is a pollution that is chronic. It is, there's a spiritual pollution. In this man's heart, he has completely identified, or he is completely identified with this state or condition. His mind is in a certain condition, state, with the result that his body tells the story of what is going on in the heart. I have a book called Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, edited by Irvin Goldberg. And I'm going to be reading from a chapter entitled Mind Body Medicine. Quote, according to Janet Kornefeld, PhD of Miami, Florida, identity can be a major component of the way people deal with their health conditions, particularly those suffering from chronic disease. Too often, people tend to identify directly with their illness, she explains. A person doesn't usually say, I'm John, who has condition of diabetes. He says, I'm a diabetic. The disease moves in and actually shifts a person's identity. Unquote. So I want you to see the nature of Jesus' approach and his differential diagnosis with regard to this man's condition. The mind is very powerful. It is the mind that informs the content or the content of our emotion. Once again, she states, the disease moves in and actually shifts a person's identity. And so, Jesus is facing this very situation with regard to this individual. Long ago, there's a book by Howard Lewis and Martha E. Lewis entitled Psychosomatics, How Your Emotions Can Damage Your Health. Viking Press, New York, 1972. Another book by Adelaide Bray and Marjorie Blair, entitled Directing the Moves of the Mind, Harper & Row, New York, Neuroimmunology, academic prince, New York, 1981. Franz Alexander, psychosomatic medicine, Northern New York, 1965. Herbert Benson, The Mind-Body Effect, Simon & Schuster, New York, 1979. There is also another book by Kenneth R. Pelletier, Mind as Healer, Mind as Slayer, Delacourt, New York, 1977. Very, very wonderful book. And so, please note that Jesus' words and what he said to this individual were designed to, in verse 8, to pierce through the asthenia, the weakness of this individual. In verse 8, Jesus says unto this individual, for a guy right, the word a guy right here means, and it is an aorist imperative active. So at a point in time, Jesus gives this command to this individual. It's the command stated in the imperative. Wake up. Come out of a passive, lifeless state or condition. Wake up. Arise, or rise, take up thy bed and walk. This is a personal etiological term. This is no mere invitation, it is a command. Later on, we will note in this chapter something very significant about this man. And note verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. Immediately. The presence of Jesus, he speaks the presence of the kingdom of God. He is Lord of all and Lord over all. This man's eased condition was taken away by Jesus. We must want, or we must choose to be healed. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So now we get an understanding of the writer skillfully brings in the environmental context of this man's healing. Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. This man had been in this condition 38 years. That's not germane to them. That's not significant to them. What is significant, however, is that he takes up his bed on the Sabbath day. The miraculous in their midst had no impact upon them. But what did impact them was this individual's disregard of the Sabbath. One point, Jesus struggled with his milieu. He had to say to a group of individuals that see that those within the environment, those within this man's peripheral, were also in this different condition or state of awareness. So we see that it was a great problem with regard to Sabbath, that it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, that is the one who was healed, said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, then they interrogate him in verse 12. Then he then asked them, they, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They, he is interrogated, and verse 13, he that was healed was not who it was, but Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And notice the words of Jesus after the colon in verse 14. Sin no more. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. So Jesus meets this individual in the temple. And so this is Jesus' prescription. This is his prescription for the spirit. Here is behavioral medicine in the word. Jesus knew that the disease of this person is due to personal sin. Jesus therefore said to them, no more. Or sin no further. Because if you do, now you would have an aggravated condition. You will have an aggravated spiritual and mental and moral state. You must choose to be healed. And you must choose to remain. Jesus shows, and we know today, that personal choices, the mind, the emotions, and the body. But we refuse, for some reason, to let people know that they must live a life that are unpolluted by sin. By the way, whatever happens to sin. My name is Dr. Josiah Ridge.